Yo.
What's up? Hello.
What's up in the building?
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. We are your Chefologists. This is the podcast called Chefology. My name is Josh DeVetta. I've also got Asabi Goodman.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Gracie Mack here in the building. Hello. As we record yet more content for all our content absorbers.
Oh, the content.
The content, dude. The content. Well, you know what? I am very, very, I guess, excited for this episode because it's we're doing a year. So last time we did a year, which was many moons ago now, we did 1985. And yes. This year, our year is... 2010, yes, only 10 years ago. And we're going to be talking about all the music from 10 years ago, what was going on at the time. Mm. Actually, I believe Obama was still in office during that time.
Thank
so that feels like many moons ago now.
Well, gosh, you know, March feels like 5 years ago.
It sure bloody does. Yes, it does. Oh. Also, music was changing in 2010. So we just had the late 2000s where hip hop and R&B were really like dominating the charts. We had Ciara, we had Beyonce, we had 50 Cent, we had Justin Timberlake, we had...
Did we have Nelly?
We had Nelly. If you want to go and take a vibe with me. I used to love that song.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
Great. We had so much, so much R&B and hip hop, and then all of a sudden, things started changing. EDM, electronica pop music was starting to really take off because of festival culture, actually.
Yes.
And we've talked famously about how the Black Eyed Peas were really inspired by Australian festival culture, which I'm inspired them to bring out. The end.
And the beginning.
That's right. The energy never dies is what the end stands for. And yeah, so we're going to talk about all that type of music. So if you keep, I guess, listening, you're going to find out what's going on the playlist. All right, stay tuned.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And we're back.
Hello.
All right. Well, we're going to get, I guess we're going to throw it over to Grace. How are you, Grace?
I'm doing good.
You're doing all right? Yes.
I just found this hair on my chin. That's getting me down.
There's a pill for that, I think.
Welcome to the aging of
Chefology. You do like a chin stroke and you're like, whoa, what is that?
Oh,
and then
my.
It's just a slippery slope of...
It's not. Yeah. I found a hair like 15 years ago or whatever, and I would always pull it out, and now it barely shows itself around.
Oh, that's good news. All right.
So you've destroyed the cuticle. All right.
Anyway, music.
Music. All right. 2010. What was going on, Gail?
Well, I was trying to think back to what I was doing. I was living with my mom.
I was too.
Crushing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Such babies.
I wasn't like, no, I went back to living with my mom. I'd been out of the, I'd been out for many years.
I repeat, such babies.
And I was living with my boyfriend and my mom, and we're saving up to go to Europe.
Which we did the following year.
Saving. Yeah, yeah. Like free rent with parents.
So what,
saving.
You mean you had money?
Yeah, remember those?
Don't yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
remember
money.
Those days. Remember those, yeah, saving up for flights overseas.
Travel. Also, what I found really, really interesting when I was putting together my songs, just to interject,
because
what else would I do?
Chefology
is, yeah, exactly. Is that like this is pre-Spotify days, so it was funny,
yeah,
like to
true.
Yeah. But the iTunes store was really starting to like,
yeah,
and Amazon true. And all that kind of stuff were really starting to rise, and that was starting to inform, I guess, like you know, chart domination as well digitally.
Well, it's a good point you make, Josh, because I was a little unsure of how to go about picking my tunes for this, because I was like, 2010, what was I listening to? And it doesn't really work for me to go to the Billboard charts. I mean, it did with one of my choices, but in general, that wasn't what I was listening to at the time.
Right.
Yeah,
so
totally
it's like, what do I do? There's no like digital library I can go check out to see what I listened to then. So I went to my stack of CDs, went and like brushed the dust off.
Yes.
And I just went through those and found five.
That's amazing.
Well, I found four and then one was from Billboard. But anyway, my first one, it's by a guy, Australian musical comedian person called The Bedroom Philosopher.
Nice.
And the song is called Northcote in brackets So Hungover.
So Melbourne, this is about Melbourne.
It's about Melbourne.
It's from his ARIA nominated, didn't win, album released in February in 2010, Songs from the 86 Tram. It's like Melbourne. All right.
So
Melbourne.
This is a full Melbourne homage.
Full Melbourne. And this song, it's so, this song gives me so much joy. I put it on when I'm hungover sometimes and just like makes me feel better. But it's just him having a conversation on a phone on the tram in this like wanky Melbourne hipster voice. He's like, yeah, sorry I couldn't make it to your girl. Yeah, I didn't want to go. Like, he talks like that. It's really entertaining.
Somewhere off the beaten track, Grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice, yeah, Gracie. Exactly.
And he's on a tram, obviously. Yeah, like I said that.
The 86,
and,
yeah.
And, that's what the video is. And the video won a lot of random awards. People really loved it because it's super entertaining. It's just a hipster being a bit of a dickhead on a tram. And all these like hipster people around him in different weird poses. It won the Australian Directors Guild Award. Sounds pretty prestige.
Oh, well,
best music
there
video.
There you go.
Australian Cinematographer Society Award, Best Cinematography in a Music Video, California International Film Festival.
Of course.
Okay.
Callies are crazy.
and St Kilda Film Festival.
Yay, St Kilda. Right,
well, 2010s was the rise of the hipster.
As what
well.
Was it?
Yeah,
oh,
it was
is that
yeah,
when
yeah,
those
peak.
Beards
peak.
Came in?
Yeah, beards,
wait,
flannel.
Let me
well,
not,
more,
let me
yeah,
not
more like flannels, big fake glasses.
Yes.
Fake and glasses?
Like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like they don't need glasses, but they're wearing glasses.
Asabi,
oh,
look,
yeah.
What I'm, look what I have on my face
well,
right
yeah,
now.
But that's, I just thought that was a drag queen.
Okay, no shade, no shade.
I see drag queens doing
yours
that
are like,
all
you
the
have
time.
Like a shape to them. These were like, the
yeah, yeah.
Chunky.
These are actually
yeah,
sunglasses
just,
that I just
yeah.
popped the lenses out of. That's why they look so. Because
so
if
forward.
I was to get these like with a proper prescription, hundreds of dollars.
Jesus, well,
for sure.
Okay, not true. Yeah. Mm. Well, so the better philosopher, aka Justin Heaslewood, is his actual name. He's released 5 albums. So this album, Songs from the 86 Tram, is amongst other well-beloved titles like "Living on the Edge of My Bed,"
lovely,
"In Bed with My Duna." Brown
oh
and
God.
Orange and Fun Employed.
And you know what? He would have performed this to a sold out bar too.
Yes.
Oh,
like,
they would have gone.
They would have
off.
Lapped this up.
Yes. It's so funny. My favorite line is the chorus. It goes, riding around on the 86, so hungover. He goes, gonna
God.
Go down to JB Hi-Fi, flick through indie.
Oh, God.
So
oh
God. Was he being ironic? Was that the whole?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Just checking
yeah.
that it wasn't.
Yeah, no,
that's
God,
his real
that would
life.
Be really bad
yeah, wouldn't
if
it?
He was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is going to sell because it's
oh,
real.
Absolutely.
But did it sell? Apparently it
I mean, maybe
something.
I don't know. Sold it. I bought it.
You, yeah, sold you.
Yeah. When I was in a band, I would have absolutely been a part of a lineup with those types of artists being on the billboard.
Like
yeah, but yeah, exactly. And then like I go out there being like, hey, and like you know, just you know, sing the house down or something. Nowhere near as many cheers as someone singing about being on the 86 train. Can
right?
I just say?
like, I can't connect
yeah. with you. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Well, that's your first
that's
choice.
My first choice.
Beautiful first choice.
Now, my second choice. We have all, not to you know, ruin foreshadowing. Okay,
well, just foreshadowing.
But we have all chosen a Katy Perry song. I'm just
yes,
gonna throw it out there. All from the same album. She cleaned up.
That was the only good one.
Yeah, she did a clean up.
Okay, let's. I mean, can we just? But I've chosen Firework.
Oh,
okay. Well, yeah.
I still feel like a plastic bag all these years later.
In the wind. Okay, so I'm not going to talk anything about this song and like actual facts. I'm
right.
going to talk about my emotions.
Yeah, please sure. do. Yes.
How did you
so,
feel?
So sometimes, so I feel things. You know how people like they feel things in their stomach or
yeah.
you know certain places in the body. So for me, it's in my chest, in the solar plexus, if you will.
So does
oh,
she.
Wow.
If you will. Yeah, yeah. Well, she's
yeah.
shooting fireworks
out,
of,
out of her
titties
breasts,
in there.
Yeah.
yeah. So and sometimes I'll see or hear, witness some sort of piece of art, and I go, oh my God, that's so amazing. And I get really enraptured. And
yeah.
I had that reaction to this film
yeah.
clip.
Oh, cute.
I don't know what it was. It was just something about, it was the first time I heard the song as well, watching the film clip. And it's like, I mean, Katy Perry, like, she's doing her thing, whatever. She's shooting fireworks out. But there's, like, the cancer kid. Yes. And there's the chick who, like, his body shamed, but then she gets into the pool and she jumps out and the fireworks. And I'm like, I loved it. I was had such a visceral reaction to it. And so that's why I chose it. I thought it was awesome.
No, that's good. And also at the time, I think it was good because, like, it was like, because I remember when I first ever heard Firework because I got sent an early copy of the album a couple of weeks prior.
Of course
to
you
the,
did.
To the, to the release.
I've seen the photos. Yes.
And I remember my most emphatic response was to Firework. And I think just, you know, being a self-loathing 20-year-old at the time, whatever, that's the song I needed in my life. So, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what I felt. I was like, oh, I feel so like loved by this song. Yeah.
And she really does, like, I really do believe her when in the video too. Like, she's really emulating love and that kind of stuff.
I've never actually
gave her a
VMA
nomination actually for that video.
Did it?
Yes, she did. Yes. Nice.
Wow. I've never actually seen the video. And I first heard the song on Glee.
Oh yeah, can we just talk about 2010? Glee was on the top of its game in 2010.
Didn't they do Blame It on the Alcohol? Was that
that was the episode when they were all getting drunk one time and they all had a hungover?
And they're all hungover still on Monday, even though they got drunk
on Saturday. Yeah.
Like, these kids are 16 years old. Bounce back!
Oh my god, exactly. And can I just say the bounce back is getting harder at 31? I will tell you that.
Good Lord. Yeah. Good
well,
Lord.
I'll tell you. By the time you reach my age, you just stop drinking.
Yeah, exactly. If I need to go to work tomorrow, I won't be drinking 2 days prior.
Yeah, like, right? Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so Katy Perry's Firework. We can elaborate on Katy Perry later.
We can go deeper. Okay, my third choice. Look, let's call it what it is. It's pretty obscure. It is 9 minutes, 38 seconds. Just straight out
So
the
not
gate.
Radio friendly.
Straight, no. Not radio friendly. So strap in, my dears. It is a song called Arrows and Loops by Ari Honig, who is a New York-based drummer, if anyone is or isn't familiar with him. I have no idea if any of our listeners will be into this. No concept of what our basis is. But if you are interested, I super encourage you to listen to more of him because they're some very cutting-edge musicians training in jazz, but they go into a lot of different fields. This album is called Lines of Oppression that this song is from. And it has... the piano player's name is Tigran Hamasyan. The guitarist is Gilad Hexelman, and the bass player is Orlando Le Fleming. And they are all very, very highly virtuosic artists in their own fields, and they've come together to make this really, really epic album of just... It's dense. Like, it's a full-on listen. And this particular song is 9 minutes 38. It's basically a suite. It goes through, like, all these different sections, but, like, a modern suite of... showcasing each artist individual flavors. It's very exciting to listen to, for me at least. And I hope that some of you also enjoy it. Hopefully, I'll get one.
You've got to spare 9 minutes. Yeah, nine minutes
of your life.
Closer to 10, really.
I hope you're commuting.
It's not
a trip, tea break. It's not retail tea break friendly.
No, definitely not.
I wrote in my notes, be warned, there's some jazz shit going on. And of this album, the reviewer John Kelman said, it's unequivocal that this is a quartet of equals, driven moment by moment by the unfettered expressionism of everyone involved. And that's what I love about it. So if you're looking for inspiration on a very dense way to collaborate with four musicians, you know, it's not just like the lead and everyone's backing, it's like a very collaborative effort. So... it's a really cool way to approach music. Okay, just backing off here
beautiful.
To my
kind
fourth
of like
choice.
An ensemble.
Yeah, yeah, an ensemble in the true sense of the word, not just like passing solos. You know?
Sure.
So my fourth choice, just bringing it back. You know, I think it's around the 3-4 minute mark. You're good. We're safe.
Asabi and I back in.
Okay, yeah. I'm good now.
It's called Fall at Your Feet, and it's a Boy and Bear cover.
Boy and Bear.
Yeah, an Australian. So my last two choices are Australian. Okay. Yeah, are Australian. A little snippet of Australia in 2010. Two songs, you know. Nailed it. Covered the whole of Australia.
All of Australia for that
2010.
Whole year.
So yeah. Boy and Bear, Sydney-based band, for those of you who don't know. Sort of like soft rock. I don't know how to describe them. Some sort of lots of vocal harmonies, quite warm guitar stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get it. Figure it out. Listen to the song. You'll figure it out. So this I have this album. I have all these albums.
Oh, it was number 5 on the Triple J Hottest 100 that year.
Oh my God, there you go. There you go. Because
I thought, no, I know actually.
Yeah. Boy and Bear, like they're quite well known in Australia.
Angus and Julia Stone took it out that year.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Unsurprising. Wow. So many opinions over here.
No, it's good. It's like a podcast about music. Yeah.
So it's from the compilation album He Will Have His Way, which was a bunch of Australian New Zealand artists doing covers of Tim and Neil Finn songs.
Yes.
Oh, right.
So it was, and I actually bought this album by accident thinking it was Tim and Neil Finn. And it's not. It's not Tim and Neil Finn. It's all these fucking bands. I was like, oh, cool. Songs of Tim and Neil Finn.
Oh, shout out to Liam Madden, former host. Yeah. He loved Neil and Tim, like, obsessively. Oh. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Still, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying in past tense. He still loves.
He's with us. Yeah. He's with us. He is alive. On the planet still.
Yes. Still.
Hi, but he's dead too. Oh, he's off the podcast. So it's not how that works.
I didn't
speaking of opinions.
Girl.
So this song, Fall at Your Feet, it's got some beautiful dense harmonies in it. It's a Crowded House song from the 1991 album. The 1991 album, Woodface, which was a huge album for the band. If any of you guys are fans out there, it had Don't Dream It's Over, Better Be Home Soon, Weather With You. Huge, huge album for the band. And moving on to my next choice, my final choice. Yeah. So that's a Sydney band that's covering New Zealand artists.
Yep.
My fifth one is Brisbane Boys. All of them are Brisbane Boys. And they're called the Enthusiastic Musicians Orchestra, EMO.
Emo.
Oh, EMO. Yes.
Which, if anyone's met a Brisbane boy, no, they're not. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say something about them being emo. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure emo's hanging out at Hungry Jack's in 2010 started dying off at that point.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the emo movement was really big in Brisbane. It was huge. Sorry, keep going anyway.
The song I've chosen is called Vanishingly There. And I found this album in my stack of stuff. The album is called, good Lord, I didn't even write the name down. Oh no, how am I going to go on this? It's called 14B. That's what it's called.
So 14B. Stressful
14B?
This is 14B.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Got it.
Don't you know trust what? The is bitch at apartment 14B.
Yeah, right?
So that's a very obscure television reference.
Is that show still around?
No.
Didn't make it.
I never watched it.
They make about 2 seasons, I think.
No, it's very cult following, like 2 or 3 seasons only.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. At least
anyway,
3 seasons.
Anyway. So this is a 18-piece band, full woodwind and brass section.
Wow.
And then, you know, it's kind of like a big band, very similar to a big band, and the style of music, I guess, is adventurous big band, if you could think of it like that. It's, you know, all new compositions. And they've got some just stunning arrangements led by Andrew Garten, who's a Brisbane local. They also have an addition of congas on a couple of tunes. They've got 19 people sometimes.
Wow, it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's expensive tour.
Yeah. I don't know if they play together anymore. I saw them once at JMI Live, which is quite a small venue in Brisbane.
And so they basically
like
took
spilling
up the whole
off
venue.
The stage. Yeah, it was like into the audience. And it was a great gig, but it was a bit cramped. It was not socially distanced, shall we say.
It won't happen in 2020.
Maybe 2022.
But maybe. But this is this song, Vanishing There, is the last song on the album, and it's the ballad. And it's so beautiful. It has this really lovely, gentle guitar solo, and then the horns come in right at the end. I mean, you'll hear. But I remember listening to... It may have been this song. I can't really remember. It was ages ago. When I saw the band live, I remember listening to them and closing my eyes and just being transported into this, I don't know, sweet, nostalgic world that music sometimes takes you into. So those are my 5 choices.
Oh, amazing. Although, how gorgeous. Well, I can't wait to get an education.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that 10-minute song.
I'll make a cup of coffee before I have that one. Well,
the next time I'm driving out to Redcliffe.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Alrighty, well, we're going to have a short break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what Asabi chose. Stay tuned.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back.
Yay.
Hey. Well, we hope you've been enjoying. We hope you enjoyed my. I hope you enjoy my five choices. I assume everyone.
They're amazing.
Did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Good.
No. Just okay. Fishing, we should. We need to be more affirming. Yes. Yes, it was. Oh, there you go.
Stop.
How gorgeous.
Now, moving right along here, folks, we have the beautiful Asabi Goodman sitting across from me.
Yes, right.
If only you had the view that I had.
Trust me, you do not want to see this. All right. So, like Gracie, I was trying to think, what was I doing back in 2010? And I, specifically relating to the five choices that I've chosen, I had just broken up with someone. And one of my really good friends from high school had flown over to visit. And I just remember we were just being women, having a great time driving around all parts of Brisbane, blaring music and singing at the top of our lungs. Mm-hmm. And
standard.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so the songs that we were singing included OMG by Usher.
Oh,
it's my first
give it a
choice.
There we go.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yes, exactly.
Let the beat rock. Sorry.
It's off, and there'll be another theme that you'll see running through all my choices as well. So this was off his sixth studio album, Raymond versus Raymond.
Raymond, that's the one.
Yes. And what I really love about it, you know, all the electric elements. So I, as I've mentioned on other casts, I was a kid who liked to go clubbing.
Yeah.
Because I can't say I was a club kid because that's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
A
yeah,
whole different yeah, genre.
I still remember when you said that and I was like, what costume did you wear?
Yeah, yeah. I have done that, but I was definitely not a club kid. But I did go clubbing a lot.
You're a party girl.
Yeah, I was a party girl back in the 90s, especially when I lived in Japan and in Los Angeles. So yeah, I loved clubbing. So the whole electronica and house and trance movement really structured my growing, right? Yeah. You know, that was that formulated my young adult years. So the fact that 2010 was sort of coming back to that, I was like, yes, this is my music. I love this. So Usher's OMG was one of the first tunes, and I just really fell in love with it. I would blast it in my car. I loved the auto-tune vocals. I felt they were quite smooth. One thing about Usher that I thought was quite amazing, and I only learned this in researching this song, he basically did all the vocals in that song, and he sings from a G3 to an E5.
Go him.
Yes, that's his range, which is quite high.
Good, yeah,
yeah,
the
that's
range
quite high.
For dude.
Like my high is a G5, so I'm just above him. Well, that's my written high. I can go higher than that, but I never write it down because I don't want people to make me do that. yeah. Right?
Because people seem to be fascinated about gratuitous belting.
Exactly. So can you?
Anyway,
can
we'll
you
move on
a
from
B5?
That.
Yes. I'm like, no, bitch,
especially
I'm not going to do
that. Especially
the
musical theater community. Anyway, keep going.
Right. Anyway, so this song is kind of like a mix of dance pop, synth pop, R&B, Euro pop. It's got everything.
Very
it's
new
got.
Sound for Usher, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's got Will I Am.
Yes.
So Will I Am was a co-producer on this album, and it was the fifth best-selling song in 2010.
I believe it.
Yep. Very, very good.
He was nominated for VMAs that year as well.
Yes. Yes, he was.
I remember his performance.
That's okay. Please interject. Interject. I love, you know, the hard-hitting drums and bass that are in this song. It's fun to sing. I love singing this song. I love the little chord progression that goes over the chorus.
Just, I was waiting for Josh to do the call again because he's like responding to everything you're saying. You're like, yes. I know that one.
I like the part where it's like auto-tuned, but he does like the, oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my G3,
exactly.
Guys. There we go.
Exactly.
Oh,
so
great. That's such
I
a good choice.
I love this song. Yeah, I love this song. So I love dancing to it. And like, it's got those crowd chants in it.
Yes.
And as someone who is a true extrovert, you know, I get all of my energy from being around people. So even listening to this song, it makes me feel like I'm around people. So I just get super hyped up. And anybody who's ever been around me, if you've seen me just get a little hyped up, you're like, Jesus, calm down. So I think when I came in with Grace tonight, I was like, I'm so hyper. She's like, I know. I don't even know why. It was literally because I walked down the street. That was like, that's all it took. Anyway, on a Savvy scale of singability, I give this a 9.
Oh, that's high.
Yes, it's really high. I love singing this song. I sang it like all day today. All right, yes. So my second tune, again, as Gracie said, we all have chosen a Katy Perry tune.
Very happy to hear this.
Right. So, so my tune is California Girls.
Oh, boom,
yes,
boom,
yes.
Boom, boom, boom.
And
it's featuring
words.
Snoop Dogg, by the way. Yeah,
that's yeah. right.
Tone, tan, fit and ready. Yeah. Turn it up because we're getting heavy. Wild, wild, West Coast. These are the girls I love the most. And the 808 goes, tick, tick, tick.
Love it.
Sorry, keep going.
So you know what I mean. It's infectious.
It is.
Right?
Oh,
it's such
perfect earworm.
Yes. The So I didn't rate the lyrics, like in the verse as much, but the chorus. The chorus is what captured me.
California girls, they're unforgettable. Daisy Duke's bikinis on top. Sun-kissed skin so hot, will melt your popsicle.
Oh, I'm getting so happy.
Yes, right.
Sorry, keep going.
So that's like my favorite thing. And you know, in Snoop Dogg's rap, he mentions Jeeps, and I used to drive a Jeep Wrangler.
Yes,
like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
The song is about me.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah,
oh that's right. Because she's like, I'm sipping. No, she goes, we freak in my Jeep.
Yes. Boop, boop. Yep.
Snoop Doggy Dog exactly. on the steering. Okay, keep
and the
going,
song
sorry.
Is super freaking cheesy.
I'm sorry, it's Grace is just because.
She's like, yes, we
so
all
funny.
Know.
You started him off. That's what you yeah.
Right? But this song spent 6 weeks at number
it
one.
It sure bloody did.
And it went 4 times, 6 times, and then 8 times platinum in Canada, oh, Australia, shit. And the US, respectively. It so huge. It was
what
massive.
Does that mean? I'm sorry.
It means that it's made
what's
so
platinum?
Many sales. It's a
no,
number.
No, no, but what's the number? Of
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
you know?
Platinum. Oh, it's a couple of 100,000.
I think yeah, it's true. More than that. No, isn't
but
it like a million?
But it's not a million. No, it's not a million. Oh. No. I think you have to reach diamond. It's like, yeah, to get to a million. Yeah. And
right.
Katy Perry.
Oh, I'm pretty
and,
sure she did.
Yeah. And she does have the record for the highest selling single.
No,
I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
The platinum certification was introduced in 76, sale of 1 million units.
Oh,
yeah.
So she
went 4 times in Canada. Six wow. times in the US and eight, or 6 times in Australia and 8 times in yeah. the US.
And in the early 2010s, she was the queen of digital sales. Yes. Like, that was her thing. Like, they yeah. really, they need to do studies in university about the rise of social media and how they turn that into sales metrics in the music industry because yeah. it's actually fascinating.
Well,
to me, it's
fascinating. Katy Perry had some pretty elaborate videos. I feel like she sort of
yeah, she
took
did.
A page out of Michael Jackson's.
Oh, queen
book,
of concepts.
Right?
Yeah.
yeah. And so, like, I watched California Girls. I watched what's the Friday night last Friday night.
You know, yes.
And I loved it. It's very nostalgic. Like, she brings back these people that we know today, people from previous times, like Corey Feldman and Debbie Gibson, yes. you know, as her parents. And I was like,
and Kenny G,
isn't she yes, yeah. Kenny G is Uncle
Random
Kenny.
Appearance, yeah.
And I'm watching this, and I'm like, isn't she like the same age as them? But no, she's not.
No, she was very, she's only like 24, 25
yeah, exactly.
back then.
I'm the same yeah. age as them. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay, just kidding. Anyway, so California Girls gets a 10 on my
yes.
scale of singability.
Oh. Yes. And it's not an easy song to sing either, guys. It in the pre-chorus it changes ranges very
it does,
yeah
it does.
Very often.
I've only like I don't use the term mixed singing, but apparently I do it very well. Anyway,
whatever. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like whatever.
Survey says.
What do you mean by you mean your range?
The mixed vocal.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you do mix all the time. Girl.
I know. I didn't
like
know that's what
thing.
It was called.
I've done it.
I know. That's, everybody's like,
I've
what
made
do you
an
mean?
Entire
this is like,
career
what you
from mixing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anywho. Let's move on to my next choice. Another female who had her debut album technically in 2009, but like I said, I was here in Australia. This is when I heard it. This is my rule. Kesha's TikTok. You know that song? TikTok.
Yes.
On
I know
the
it
clock,
well. I know it well.
Yeah, I know she doesn't like this.
Because of her, I wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Right?
I'd brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Jack.
Thank
all right?
you. So fucking disgusting. Yeah.
This was my
and when we leave for the night,
young.
We ain't. She was like, she brought the party girl image
yes.
to mainstream,
oh, yeah.
and it was
she
so
did.
It worked in her favor
so
on an
good.
Intense
actually,
level.
I was considering putting this song on my list because
as
I do
flop?
Remember. No, because I remember sitting in a car with my friends, screaming at the top of her lungs this song because it was so fun to sing along to.
I've seen her live twice. I'm here in Australia, and there is something euphoric that happens when that song comes on and you're moshing in the pit and people are screaming the lyrics. Also, same producer for that song in California Girls, and people always talk about how they sound very, very similar, especially in their choruses with the off, like boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. Don't stop. Make it pop. Make it. Yeah. So, pardon?
Did you say they had the same producer?
Say it, Dr. Luke. Producer. Yeah. Oh. So, this is back before he was found out to be a.
Yeah.
With the whole Kesha thing.
Yes. That's quite sad. Anyway, I always write like what my favorite moments are, and I wrote the whole damn song. Like
it's
when it gets to the that bridge bit where it kind of breaks down and it starts to layer. You build me up, you take me down. My heart it pounds, you got me. Oh, yeah. And it just starts to build that up until it's like what bass drop.
The party don't start till I walk in.
Yep. Oh yes, yes. I love it. Love it.
10 years ago, man.
Oh, so I mean, the song is really silly. And just as a little fun fact that I learned about this song, the opening line of the song came from an experience where Kesha woke up surrounded by beautiful women, to which she imagined P. Diddy being in a similar scenario.
Yeah, I love that.
So, maybe she was at a slumber party. I don't know.
And that's him actually saying, hey, what's up, girl, opening of the track.
Yeah, it is.
Because he actually happened to be in another studio on the same plot recording music as well.
Yep. So that is truly P. Diddy. So now this became a best-selling worldwide single in 2010, selling 12.8 million. It went 8 times platinum in the US. It was number one for 9 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. And of course, on a Sabi scale of singability, another 10.
The audience is excited tonight, I have to say.
Yes, thank you, audience. All right, now my last two tracks sort of go together. And I hope that when you add them to the playlist, you put them together.
Like a nice transition between.
I don't know if they've.
One after the other.
Yeah. So you can watch the video and the videos. There's like one long video of the two songs where they go into
together. Oh, really?
Yes. And it's because it's like part one, part two.
Right.
So I'm just going to mention them because they're both by the Black Eyed Peas. Mm. And it's called, I'm a Bee. You know, I'm a bee, I'm a bee,
I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other song is Rock That Body.
Oh, yes.
Rock That Body. Come on, Rock That Body.
Well, that was a big album.
So if you watch the full video, it's called I'm a Bee Rockin' That Body.
Love that.
Genius.
Yes, it's beautiful. So it's from their fifth studio album, which was technically released in June of 2009, but these songs didn't really make it over. Like they weren't the first released songs off the album. So by the time they were released, it was closer to 2010.
Oh, well, 2009 was dominated with Boom Boom Pow and I got a feeling.
Yeah, that was huge.
That tonight's gonna be. I know, and Oprah doing her little whatever. That's surprising Oprah. Remember that?
That's right. You remember that?
Yes. So they surprised. So Oprah did like this big out. She did an outdoor show in Chicago. You know, like
is that
thousands
the one when
of people.
Jerry Seinfeld shows up.
I don't know who she actually had as guests. I never actually saw this show. But the Black Eyed Peas came on to perform, and it was like a flash mob. It was kind of like the beginning of flash mobs becoming really, really popular back in 2009, right? And so they had this entire crowd of like, I don't know, 1,000 people or something. It was tons of people. And the Black Eyed Peas came out on stage, and everybody just kind of politely clapped. And they start playing, and Oprah's standing at the side, and she's kind of watching the crowd because she's thinking, I just got you the Black Eyed Peas, you know? So she's thinking everybody's going to go crazy. And there's one woman in the front just going nuts and just doing her thing. And Oprah's kind of like, the fuck? She's like, I just bought these bitches the Black Eyed Peas. It's a free concert. And they're standing still. And the Black Eyed Peas are just, you know. And so this woman keeps going and she's doing her little thing. And then all of a sudden, like a few people just around her start moving as well. And it's like a choreographed dance. And then the next thing you know, it just spreads out to the entire audience. And it was like a surprise for Oprah. So the Black Eyed Peas were in on it. It was this woman who was a choreographer. She got all of the audience members to be in on it. And it was just, and Oprah was like freaking out, like, everybody's doing the same thing. Oh my God. You know, it was just.
That's a good
massive
Oprah
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm here all week. anyway, so these two songs, oh my God, I live for them. So it's like elements of synth pop and hip hop and R&B and electro pop. The lyrics are fun and they're silly. And you know, the voices are all auto-tuned, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it just works with this because it's so electronic and housey. And Amabi, just the way it sort of moves into another, like just before it transitions into Rock That Body, it sort of creates this kind of layered canon of sound and vocals. And you know, they're like, Will I Am is doing his little rap, and just it's like there's like a sort of like a false bass drop, but then everything kind of drops out and then it comes right back in. And then you start to hear elements of Rock That Body coming in. And then it just moves in and you just hear this, I'm going to rock right now. I'm going to rock right now. You know, and it just goes right into the next song. And it's just, ugh, it just blows my mind. Guys.
Yeah, it's a really bloody good album.
It is a bloody good album. Yeah. Like I listened to the entire album, every song, and I know not every song was successful on the album, but I loved every single morsel of everything on that album. Yes. It was just
solid pace of work.
It's so rare that happens. Everything works for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was, and I was just, you know, like to the point, like I was in love with every one of them. Like, you know, Will I Am was in one of the X-Men films. And when his character died, I was like crying. I never cry in movies. And I'm like, this shit's fake. I know it's fake. And I was like, no, John Rath, no. Like, I was like completely gutted and just like sick that, you know, like I love the Black Eyed Peas so much. I love them. But anyway, that's
beautiful.
Those are my five songs.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's nice to, yeah, we get passionate on this show, guys. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Asabi.
You're welcome.
For rousing whatever that roused within all of you. We're going to be right back, folks. Stick around for Josh Gevetta's Choices.
And we're back. And today we are talking all songs from the year 2010.
Hey.
Yes. So you've just heard my choices and Gracie Mack's choices. And now, Josh DeVetta.
It's me.
We'd like to know what you picked for 2010.
Oh, it's a party from start to end. I will say that. All right. Well, let's get the cat out of the bag. We've talked about Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we briefly mentioned her in your choices. I've chosen a Katy Perry song, the title track, Teenage Dream.
Yes.
I think that album is just iconic to her. I think it was just such a huge moment, like you know, in a pop artist, you know. You dream of having those kinds of numbers, you know? That album was responsible for leveling Michael Jackson's record for the most number ones from one album, 5 to be exact, the first female to do it.
Yep.
Still can't believe Mariah hadn't actually done that yet. But anyway, moving on.
We had to bring her up, didn't we?
Oh, wrong button. There we go.
Well, it's kind of a joke now.
Yeah, exactly. But the song Teenage Dream, like, it's just so quintessential of the generation. It's quintessential, that whole album has great earworm pop music from go to woe. I love that it starts off with like this like two-tone electric guitar sort of thing, and then the beat starts coming in, and then you just hear her sing, "You think I'm pretty without any makeup on." And I love that the song really does build suspense from the verse through to the pre-chorus right up till you get, and then you get into your first chorus, but it really doesn't like hit the thing until the second chorus. And I love that it like takes you on this energy journey sort of thing. The music video is also just, she looks hot.
Yeah, she does. She's
and just like the whole, like, you know, is in love, you know, riding down the Cali highway with her boyfriend, having beach parties. Like, she really did nail the concept thing. Like, every single song, as Asabi said, had its own concept for every single music video, all that kind of stuff. But I just think it's just like this incredibly written. And I remember when I was studying pop music at uni, even my lecturers were like, Like, I'm no Katy Perry fan. They would be now. But, like, I'm no, but, like, this is a good song. Like, I can hear why it has so much success, because it takes the, like, to me, it takes the audience on a 3 minute 33 second journey, and you feel complete, you know, sort of thing after listening to it.
Who did she write with?
This is a Dr. Luke. So that whole album, that all the successful singles are basically all Dr. Luke productions on that one. Yeah. So he really did have, he was like, you know, the new gen Max Martin coming through the ranks sort of thing. Mm. The next song I've chosen, so that's track number one. We can talk about Katy Perry all night long, but I don't want to take up the whole podcast. I'll choose another one. And this, I loved, okay, people out there in the world, I love Rihanna so much. Sometimes I choose her over Beyonce, like, just in regards to, like, the dance music. Like, sometimes she just brings out these bangers. She's hot. I wear Fenty Beauty makeup. Like, I'm just all about Rihanna, like, on a hectic level. And she brought out this awesome album near the end of 2010 called Loud, because her album previous that was called Rated R, it just didn't really do very well metrically. Rude Boy did really well because it was number one for 4 weeks. Come on, Rude Boy, boy, can you get it up? But this next song, Only Girl in the World, was huge.
That was huge. The
clubs, like, I love, I still get excited when this song comes on. La da da da. Just like all that, and really just that huge anthemic chorus. Want you to make me feel like, and then I love the whole, like, the synth stabs. Boom, 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 boom. And it's all that, like, that really accented, almost triple it. It's really, we won't get too music nerdy on this podcast tonight. But just she sounds really good. And that album had some bangers. It also had that one, Oh Nana, What's My Name? Oh Nana.
Yes.
And Cheers to the Freaking Weekend.
Oh, that Drink was her. To that.
Yeah, yeah, with the Avril Lavigne sample.
I didn't even know that was Rihanna.
Avril Lavigne, I'm With You, like, when she's like in that bridge part. Yes, they sampled that, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
Didn't she do that with a band?
Who?
Wasn't that song, Cheers to the Freaking Weekend, wasn't that with, like, a rock band that Rihanna was featured on or something like that? Am I totally fucking that up?
Might be another thing, but on this album, it was definitely just her.
I know they featured it in the show Smash.
Yes. when they're drunk in the middle of Times Square. That's why I know that scene. What a cult following that show got. Like, people still want a third season all these years later.
I bought the albums, and I even, you know, they did Bombshell live on Broadway at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes.
I posted it on my Facebook page. I still haven't watched it yet, so I'm going to watch it.
And even that other show, even though, like, I hate that it kind of ruined the plot, but, like, that Hit List had some great songs. Like,
yes,
the secondary musical. That was Pasek and Paul, a lot of those songs too, before they were, like, hugely,
I loved that entirely. Anyway, this is not a Smash podcast.
But that's two choices. I've done
fantastic.
Two.
Fantastic.
So I'll move into the third one. And the third one, this is a song by Trey Songz, and it's called Bottoms Up. And this is, like, the end of end of the hip hop movement sort of thing. And the song goes, Bottoms up, bottoms up, oh, throw your hands up. So it's basically about drinking. But this is when I started really getting obsessed with Nicki Minaj. Like, Nicki.
Right.
Now, I'd already heard of her around the traps because she had featured on a Christina Aguilera track. She had also featured on a remix of a Mariah Carey song before they infamously had their feud. That was her thing. That's how she was getting in the industry. She was getting featured on all these different tracks, and then, like, you would see, like, a whole. She has the record for the most Hot 100 entries.
Wow.
The only other person that's done it is Aretha Franklin. So she surpassed Aretha Franklin's amount of entries.
Go Young Money.
And I love her rap so much. So she comes in. She's got, like, these huge claws in the music video, and she's just, like, tapping her knee, and she's like, "Yeah," and then she goes, "Can I get that Tron? Can I get that Remy? Can I get that Coke? Can I get that Henny? Can I get that Margarita on the rack, rack, rack? Can I get salt all around that rum tray?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll tray." And
and
that was the whole thing. Like, she was rapping these. Well, sorry, she was spitting these really fast lyrics.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't talk about her enough in our hip hop episode.
No, did we talk about her a little bit?
We briefly mentioned her, but also, like, she's also. This was before she had a huge foray and started doing pop music with that Starship song.
I would say
song.
We talked about all the people that influenced her.
Yeah, like, you know, Little Kim.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's so hard.
And also, like, I don't care what she thinks personally. You cannot convince me that the beginning of her career was not an homage to Little Kim. Her whole look
100%.
And everything was just completely ripped off.
I didn't even know who she was. And then when I first saw her, I was like, I was like, this is a Little Kim knockoff.
Yeah, absolutely. But genuinely talented. And she can, like, she'll come up with rhymes in the car.
Yeah.
Like she's just really, really gifted, and her rhythm isn't this. It's not this. She doesn't always follow the beat that's coming. Like, she doesn't always just follow like the two and the four. She plays around the beat, and just bringing in this whole animation character. So I'm really, really really do love Nicki Minaj. But yeah, I'll have this song on the playlist. It's ratchet music. Like,
yeah, she's ratchet.
Yeah, 2010. The hip hop was ratchet, queen. Like sort of thing. Like, it was all about the beginnings of the twerking in the club, like all that kind of stuff. Yes. Anyway, so I'm gonna move on.
What's your fourth choice?
My fourth choice. It's a country pop song. And it's by the group called Lady Antebellum.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're now called Lady A because they found out what Antebellum actually and all the what that represents.
Well, and you know all of
and they're trying to sue.
They tried to sue. So there's a black singer who's been going by Lady A for years, and they tried to sue her.
So they wanted to grab the patent rights to that name, Lady A, and then they found that another
woman was using that name.
And I hate that
they've settled for it. But I thought it was really messed up that, like, I'm like, you
well, they
assholes.
Changed it because of racial issues.
Yeah,
and
but
then,
there's nothing racial about Antebellum. Yeah. It just means pre-Civil War.
That's true. But they also try to rip down another black woman for having the name they wanted. Like,
I know. Yeah, that's
crap.
They were, yeah.
Like, whoever you are, whatever you go by now, goodbye.
I wanted to punch
you in
the face.
You're canceled.
Anyway, they should have been.
But they had this song, Need You Now, and it was really beautiful. It's the one that goes, it's a quarter after one, I'm a little drunk and I need you now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They were
is that a cover?
No, I'm not. No. I'm pretty sure it's their song. Someone can Google it for me.
Okay.
That song was huge in 2010. I think they got Grammy nominated as well for that album as well, The Girl with the Two Guys.
Mm.
Yeah. I always enjoyed that one. Glee covered it as well.
Of course Glee
they did.
Covered everything.
Can I go back and say 2009 to 2010, Glee was just a domination.
Yes.
They actually were. Their covers were getting. Were charting on the Billboard charts.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
and they
sometimes
were getting entrances.
Yeah,
exactly. And they were getting entrances every week.
And
it was really great how they really used television to like have this huge influence, but also go with the rise of social media.
Yep.
In saying that, their own fandom ruined their show because they started going too much like, "What do you guys want to see?"
Yeah,
like all this kind of stuff, and it's like, and so they were doing all these themed episodes, and there was no story. Like there were so many plot holes in their story.
Yes.
The first season was so solid, and then it started like, what do the fans want? What do the fans? It kind of ruined their own show. Yeah. Anyway, and also Leah Michelle, you're a bitch. Anyway.
She's a pregnant bitch too. Yeah.
Moving on.
Just real quick, that Need You Now, they co-wrote that song.
But it has a timeless sound to it, right?
Yeah. There's another, like when you sang it, there's another song that it sounds like, there's another song that sounds similar to that.
Most probably.
That's from the 70s, so I'm going to have to find it.
The Memphis, Tennessee country riding movement. I find the whole Memphis thing so interesting and intriguing, actually, because you can become a millionaire from being a songwriter or an artist in Memphis, and the rest of the world don't know who the hell you are.
Memphis
really,
is Nashville.
I'm really, really interested by it. I'm like, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, anyway, and then I've got my last choice.
Yes, your last one. What is it, lovely?
This was so, I loved this. Like, just it's not a guilty pleasure anymore. I love this song. And it's the one that goes, I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. It's Travis McCoy featuring Bruno Mars. Mm-hmm. But the song's called Billionaire, and it's
awesome.
and it was huge.
Such problematic thinking.
Yes, right.
And they, I'm riding next to
real.
Oprah and the Queen. Yeah. And
what up, Oprah?
So this was the beginning of the Bruno Mars like movement, because then that album came out.
Because he wrote it, right?
He wrote the hook, Travis, because it was actually Travis McCoy's song featuring.
Yeah.
Travis McCoy was the artist in Gym Class Heroes. He was the Do you remember Gym Class Heroes?
Yeah, I remember.
Take a look at my girlfriend, because she's the only one I got. Ba-da-da-da-ba-da-da. And I had Kim Kardashian was in that video. I'm sorry, Katy Perry was in that video because they were dating back then. Yeah. Kim Kardashian was in the Thanks for the Memories video. Anyway.
I digress.
But I was into Travis McCoy for a minute. I thought it was really, really cool.
Okay.
And also I have a couple of honorable mentions quickly, because I've done really, really well with my time tonight.
You have. I'm impressed. We haven't even reached 50 minutes yet.
Oh, yes. So B.O.B. Do you remember B.O.B.? Yeah, Bob. He had an awesome song with the lead singer of Paramore, Hayley Williams. And he would go, can we pretend that the airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?
Yep.
I could really use a wish right now, a wish right now, a wish right now. And she, and Paramore had a really, because they got huge after the Twilight movies.
Yeah.
I was always a fan of them because the emo movement, whatever. But once Twilight hit, they were just like this huge mainstream success.
I think I
and their album was
them.
Really good. And they had the other song, you are the only exception. That was that was another big song for them
huge,
as well.
Yep.
Probably their most pop song that they ever had, really, to be quite honest, because it was so mellow and acoustic and all that. Another honorable mention I had was Grenade, Bruno Mars. That was a huge song. Yep. Oh my God. I still struggle to sing it sometimes, but sometimes I'm like, can we just take it down? Josh is feeling tired.
He's
and he goes for it too. Like, there's just no, he's fearless when he goes.
And
I also chose, okay, so in 2010, a really, really bad thing happened. Christina Aguilera, who I loved for many years, she had an album come out called Bionic, and it ended up flopping. And it was this really big thing. It ended up flopping. And I just felt like it needed justice because it was actually the body of work was definitely ahead of its time. So she had just done her like 1920s thing with Back to Basics mixed with hip hop, all that. And then her next vision was to go electronica, which, you know, was a very versatile approach for her to do. But Gaga had come out and she just had no chance. And what was really interesting back then, toxic blog cultures like actually like influenced like where things were heading, like that, because blogs were like tearing it down, and then actually got so, and because it was turning people sour because of social media, we started having, you know, trolls and all that kind of stuff. It never actually, and what people don't realize, I'm going to go on my soapbox just for 30 seconds and go, when people put together an album, it's not just the artist, there's a whole team that puts together an album. There's producers and songwriters and engineers, like engineers that just do and mastering and mixing, like there's so much more that goes into an album. So it's not just the artist that's bringing out the album, they have a whole bunch of family, I guess, you know, or team that really, really take the, you know, the album to the next level with the artist. And I feel sorry for those people that never ever get mentioned because they work hard on the albums as well. So when people have like really blasé responses to albums, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I understand if you don't like it, it's not for you, that's one thing, but still respect the fact that it takes you know, and also especially if you're an indie artist, you know how expensive it is to get the best mastering, the best mixing. Not everyone gets that, you know, sort of thing. And so so anyway, that's off my soapbox for 2 moments. And that's my choices. So.
Oh, beautiful, Josh. Thank you so much.
Also, sorry, Christina Aguilera.
The song
was called Woohoo.
Oh, Woohoo.
And it featured Nicki Minaj. And that's when I started really getting on the Nicki Minaj train. Okay. And the lyrics go, you know, you really want to taste my woohoo. And that's a lot. And I'll leave it there.
Well, beautiful, beautiful, Josh. I love it. Those are great. Five great choices.
Abby.
I can't wait to hear them on the playlist.
Yes.
All right, let's take a short break and we'll come back with our favorite segment.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Boom. Welcome back. Well, we have gone harking back in time to just 10 years ago. But what, like, I can't believe some of those choices are 10 years old.
I know. They could
still be on the charts now, to be quite
and
honest.
Some of those people were new, you know? Like,
and, well, Gaga and Katy Perry and Kesha. Rihanna, Rihanna had success prior to that.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
But, like, isn't that amazing?
Better philosopher, but we call them same level.
Yeah, exactly. But
okay,
2010.
Maybe not your choices,
but, you know, people call 2010 to 2012 the pop princess era.
Yes.
Because
it
had all, like, women were really, that's why I love that, because women were really dominating the charts at that point and that kind of stuff. But anyway, as we know, the yin and the yang, the bad with the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. It's time for...
It's a flop.
So we've talked very, very positively about all the music choices for our playlist, but we're also going to add a song that from each of us that we didn't really feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some doozy. So let's throw it over to Grace after your, what do you call it? Your obscure choices or whatever you called it.
Do you have a Katy Perry to
there's
go
no,
in your
there's
flop?
No jazz shit in my flop. Don't you worry.
But what's your flop this week, Gail?
Look, it's a feature in Kesha. It's 303. Remember that guy?
Oh, is it called Blah Blah Blah?
No. That one I probably wouldn't flop. I didn't. That was alright. It's called My First Kiss.
Oh, My First Kiss went so something like this. Bad. Yeah,
that, I've never heard so bad.
Like that you is don't that, need to that's hear not it. A good yeah, song. No.
But I'm going it's to hear it song. Now. Thank you.
303 welcome. Had you're like welcome. Us because they're the ones that had do the Helen Keller and Talk With Your Hips. They had that song as well. Yeah, remember that
oh,
one?
That's
yeah.
horrifying.
Yeah, they were like a blip. One yeah, hit wonder. There was a little blip.
It was like that year, right?
Or yeah, and they had a song with Katy Perry too.
Did they?
Called,
wow, how did they get these features?
Yeah. No.
I forget how it goes. Anyway, that's your yeah. flop. My yeah, first kiss, yeah. Asabi. Yeah.
My, it took me a minute to find this because I was like, what did I not like in 2010? I don't remember. Achy Breaky 2 by Buck 22 featuring Billy Ray Cyrus.
Anything featuring Billy Ray Cyrus makes
so
me angry.
Bad. I couldn't even listen to all of it. It was that. I was like, oh my God, turn this shit off.
Yes.
I just need to, yeah, no. Mm-mm. You know, it was country and hip hop. And we know Billy Ray has done this recently again.
Sometimes it takes time.
But of course, with his little Nas, that was Billy Ray.
Wasn't
yeah,
I'm
it?
Gonna
yeah.
take my.
No, I don't need to hear it.
I'm sorry to even say that first phrase.
No,
yeah.
I've never heard it, and let's keep it that way. So yeah, Achy Breaky 2. It's fucking terrible.
That's literally the name of the song.
Yeah, it is actually the name. Achy Breaky 2.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
That man's gonna live off that song for the rest of
his
life.
It's not a fucking movie. It's not like, come on.
Oh, and the video is just foul. It is just. Yeah, no, that's all my right. flop.
That's your flop. That's your flop.
That's it. So now, Joshua, darling.
Yes.
Tell us what your flop is.
Well, I didn't actually, I just had to quickly Google to make sure that it was 2010. And I'm glad that I got there.
You didn't
there.
Have to, yeah. though.
And it's this. That one. I blow my hands up in the air sometimes, saying, "Ayo, baby, let go." The Dynamite. Yeah. Tyre Cruz.
We gonna rock this town. Look, we
terrible.
Gonna rock it right. Yeah.
It reminds me of being young, dumb, and full of beep at the
ooh, girl
at the beat mega club damn. Just around the corner because they played that song every week. Now, how do I know that they were playing it every week? Because I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Week.
I was there.
Yeah, I physically had a presence in the
club. Yeah, I was
the
there
club.
A few times. Yes. And every time I went out to a club,
yeah,
they played.
But Tyre Cruz, he had a successful moment. Mm, he also had that song, I'm only gonna break your heart.
Yes.
And all that. Yeah,
yes.
It was all about that club banger thing.
Yeah.
Being led by like black artists too, yeah. by the way. Mm-hmm. Like it was a really like, well, for then it was like a dichotomy in its own way.
Of dance hits coming out in 2010 and it was being led by black artists because it was like a mix of your synth pop, euro pop and hip hop.
Yes, and also getting rappers to rap over EDM.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a thing for a long time. So looking back at it now and I go, okay, they really were recreating the genre, weren't they? Like, yeah. Anyway, that's the three flops for this week and that's our episode. 2010, does it make you feel old yet?
No.
Because I feel ancient after listening.
Oh boy, if you feel ancient, I'm disintegrated.
deceased. What do they do with the body? Where's Asabi? Anyway,
she's gone.
All righty, well, we're going to sign out. My name's Josh DeVetta. We've had Asabi Goodman,
hello.
Gracie Mac, and yeah. we've had a lovely. And my name's Josh DeVetta. Did I already say
you
my
said
name?
You already said it.
Double I just want to say it one more time.
Josh DeVetta.
Yes.
Oh. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Gollum has an unhealthy obsession about some bit of jewelry.
Doesn't even know this is what the precious is. Stupid therapist.
Cookie Monster's a bit of a stress eater.
Cookie, cookie, cookie!
And homicidal robots really just want their best friend back.
I know I did and said things that she regrets, but why is that my problem?
But what all these monsters really need is therapy. The podcast Therapy for Monsters finally puts monsters in the therapy chair with a real therapist. me, Tim, your friendly neighborhood therapist. If you'd like to learn a bit and laugh a bit, check out Therapy for Monsters on your favorite podcast app.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.